This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. With summer just around the corner, people are spending more and more time outdoors. One scientist is asking us to look at the wildlife in our own backyards.
The way we landscape excludes nature. Lawn doesn't do any of the things that we need every landscape to do.
That story and more coming up this West Virginia Morning. Support for West Virginia Morning is proudly provided by Luke Frazier. Following a special session focused largely on funding her department, the Secretary of the West Virginia Department of Human Services, Cynthia Persily, released a statement promising transparency Tuesday. Emily Rice has more.
In March, the legislature underfunded the human services budget, but in a special session, they appropriated money to a new reserve fund of $183 million. However, the House and Senate could not agree on how the money should be allocated and how much transparency and accountability should be attached to the funds. In her statement, Persily said she plans to use more than $89 million to remedy the anticipated Medicaid shortfall for fiscal year 2025. Persily also said she heard the legislators' concerns about the need for transparency and that the DOHS is committed to providing it while continuing to analyze reimbursement rates for all providers of services. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Emily Rice in Charleston.
The Mountain Valley Pipeline won't be ready to begin operations this week, the project's builder told federal regulators. Curtis Tate has more.
Equitrans Midstream had asked the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission to approve its application to enter service on Thursday. In a letter to FERC Tuesday, the company said it expects the pipeline to be ready to operate in early June. Equitrans said it has to complete fewer than 10 welds and pressure test them with water. It said hydrostatic testing had been completed on 99% of the pipeline. Equitrans said it was not premature, as some critics had described, to approve the pipeline for service. The project has drawn heavy opposition since its beginning in 2018. The May 1st failure of a water pressure test at Bent Mountain, Virginia, amplified the concerns of those living near it. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Curtis Tate in Charleston.
Memorial Day weekend brings the return of the Vandalia gathering at the state capitol. Bill Lynch has more.
The Vandalia gathering returns this weekend to the Capitol Complex in Charleston. The state's traditional arts festival attracts thousands from around the state and beyond. Adam Jones with the Department of Arts, Culture, and History oversees the gathering. The festival takes place over a single weekend, but organizing takes more than a year.
I mean, we literally start the second the last one ends with preparation for it. And then as it gets closer, obviously, we start getting the schedules together, all of that. But I mean, it's a lot. But I think it's a family. My family's not going to judge me if something goes wrong or if there's a pause. Like, they're my family.
But Jones said they've done their best to prepare for the crowds this year. And he said there's something for just about everybody.
We've got storytellers, liars contest, of course, all our music contests. We've got the concerts in between the contests, square dancing. We've got the Lincoln County Cloggers. And then, of course, all the stories and all the concerts that'll just pop up around the trees. They've never met each other, but they're sitting around a tree playing a song together.
Jones said being around all these traditional arts is inspiring. It inspired him to buy a banjo.
So I know it's one of those things, obviously, I'm not going to pick it up and it's going to be natural. I'm going to have to work and be able to get there. But I mean, looking at the people who come, it's amazing the craft that they have of being able to play. I played piano, I played trumpet when I was a kid and that kind of stuff. But banjo is just like, it's fun and it's our culture. So it's a way I can move it forward when I finally get there in like probably 30 years or so. Maybe I can sit around the tree with them one day.
And while the Vandalia gathering is packed with music, other traditional arts get their chance to shine, like the Liars Contest, which is really about storytelling.
So when I was a kid, it seemed like the question that was on everyone's mind was, what is your favorite animal? But what you gotta understand is that I am a big fan of spiders.
Jones had some tips for making the most of the weekend, especially if it's your first trip to the Vandalia Gathering.
Wear layers because there's always a change in temperature, or like last year we had rain on the Sunday and had to move stuff inside. But yeah, layers, sunscreen, sunglasses, and bring comfortable chairs. I mean, we don't have like set seating anywhere, so you kind of just sit it where you want. I mean, prepare for an amazing time and to become part of the family.
For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Bill Lynch.
The Vandalia Gathering begins at 6:30 Friday night with a concert and an awards ceremony at the Culture Center in Charleston. It continues Saturday and Sunday. Nearly half the kids in America under 18 have experienced a serious trauma. Those early events can affect our physical and physiological health. In the next episode of Us and Them, host Trey Kay learns how neglect, abuse, and violence lead to poor health outcomes. Kay talked with a West Virginia woman and her granddaughter about the traumas they survived. We aren't using their full names to protect their privacy. Here's an excerpt from the latest Us and Them.
I expected M would be shy meeting me, but she is poised and polite. She looks and acts older than her age. She is tall with long arms and legs. There's a lightness to M that surprises me, given all the heaviness of her mom's death and all that she's been through. She was just 5 when her father shot and killed her mom in the family bathroom. M was playing outside nearby. She told me what she remembered about that day.
Oh, she was in the bathroom, right? And then when I was looking out the window to see what my dad was doing, then I left to go play a basketball with my cousins. And then I heard a gunshot, and then I hurried up and ran to the bedroom, and then I saw everyone like crying. And I saw like my aunt and my one of my cousins, she was a girl, and my dad hovering over her body and crying. So I was crying because I saw my dad going to jail. So
did the police come and take him away?
Mm-hmm.
What was that like?
Scary. And I was crying a lot because I was like worried about my dad and all of my other family. So.
M's father is in prison now. It took 18 months for Joanna to get custody of M and bring her to West Virginia. M spent nearly a year in foster care, adding more stress to an already traumatic situation. Joanna says that when they were first together, M would not leave her side, even when she went to the mailbox. Joanna says her granddaughter has terrible nightmares and trouble sleeping.
She just wake up screaming and howling, and I made recordings on my phone this long gone. All night long, Nana, 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 I can't sleep. Nana, 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 I can't sleep. This was 2 years. I was not sleeping. So I went in my living room. We slept in the living room for 2 years because she could not sleep. She was having nightmares, scared of her shadow.
That's an excerpt from the latest Us and Them episode called Can Early Trauma Last a Lifetime? To hear the rest of the episode, tune in tonight at 8 on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. There will be an encore broadcast on Saturday, May 25th at 3 p.m. Us and Them is supported by the Claude Worthington Benedum, West Virginia Humanities Council, and the CRC Foundation. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:53. Cloudy today with a chance of rain and thunderstorms, highs in the 60s and 70s. Scattered rain and thunderstorms possible tonight with lows in the 50s and 60s. Tomorrow, variable cloudiness, a chance of rain and thunderstorms, highs in the 70s and 80s. Support for WVPB is provided by Marshall Health, providing comprehensive primary and specialty care throughout southern West Virginia and the tri-state region. More at marshallhealth.org. The Allegheny Front, based in Pittsburgh, is a public radio program that reports on environmental issues in the region. Here's their latest story about planting native plants in our own backyards.
This weekend is the unofficial kickoff to summer, and Americans love to picnic and play ball on green lawns. But an entomologist wants people to think about their yards as habitat. This is the Allegheny Front Environment Update. I'm Carol Holsapple. Doug Tallamy is a professor in the Department of Entomology and Wildlife Ecology at the University of Delaware and the author of five books about nature. And he started a sort of movement to convince people to give up some of their grassy lawn and instead plant native trees, shrubs, and plants. I asked him, why should people choose native plants instead of a lawn?
We've got to start right at the beginning. We humans are part of nature. We depend on the life support systems that nature delivers us every day. But the way we landscape excludes nature. Lawn doesn't do any of the things that we need every landscape to do. And there's four of them I always talk about. That would be sequester carbon, manage the watershed, support a food web, and support pollinators. Lawn is the worst plant choice for all of those. And we've got over 40 million acres of lawn. We have this notion that what's happening in parks and preserves is good enough. Well, it's obviously not good enough because we just lost 3 billion breeding birds in North America. We've got global insect decline. The UN says we're going to lose a million species in the next 20 years. That's not working. So we now need to do conservation outside of parks and preserves. That means our private property.
In your book, Nature's Best Hope, you introduce the concept of the homegrown national park. What is that and what does it look like?
If we have 40 million acres, and that's a 2005 statistic, so we have more than that now. What if we cut that area in half and replanted it in productive plants to produce those ecosystem services, to regenerate biodiversity instead of destroy it? That would give us 20 million acres to put towards conservation where there's now lawn. So I started adding up, how big is 20 million acres? And I start adding up all the major national parks in the country. It's bigger than all of them combined, including Denali, which is huge. And I said, well, gee, we're doing this at home. Let's call this Homegrown National Park. So it looks like that oak tree that's in your front yard. It looks like plantings under that tree, ground covers, wild ginger, mayapple, your spring ephemerals, any productive native plant that is not lawn.
You talked about ecological services. Can you just say a little bit more about what those are?
They're all the things that keep us alive on planet Earth. How about oxygen? Pretty important. Plants make oxygen. How about clean water? Plants capture the water as it falls from the sky. They slow its journey to the sea where it becomes too salty to use. They allow it to infiltrate into the soil, which keeps it clean. They prevent floods. And they also support the food web. This is the one everybody skips. That chickadee that wants to breed in your yard requires 6,000 to 9,000 caterpillars just to get their babies to the point where they leave the nest. And then they continue to feed them caterpillars another 21 days. They're talking about tens of thousands of caterpillars to make one clutch of a tiny bird. And think of all the birds out there. And that's just one group that eats insects. Those insects come from native plants, not from the non-native plants that our insects are unable to eat because they don't have the adaptations to eat them. Why do we need these things? Because insects are the little things that run the world. And why do we need birds? Why do we need the other animals? They're the things that run the ecosystems that produce these ecosystem services. Every time we lose a species from our ecosystem, it's more unstable and less productive. You know, this notion that we're separate from nature is what's killing us.
Doug Tallamy is an entomologist at the University of Delaware, and his most recent book is the Young Reader's Edition of Nature's Best Hope, How You Can Save the World in Your Own Yard. That's the Allegheny Front Environment Update. I'm Carol Holsapple.
The Allegheny Front is based in Pittsburgh and reports on regional environmental news. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Bill Lynch, Brianna Heaney, Chris Schultz, Curtis Tate, Emily Rice, Eric Douglas, Jack Walker, and Liz McCormick. Chris Schultz produced today's show. I'm your host, Teresa Wills. This is West Virginia Morning.